You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, and we are also part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Jeezy. What is all this? What's happening?
That's the Randy Orton, bro.
Oh, it's like this, though. Isn't it like this?
I can't do the whole thing. I'm virtual.
I was like, what are you doing? I didn't know what was happening, bro.
Hey, listen, bro. Thank you for joining us, those who are watching. There are a lot of Commanders pods and shows, a lot of HBCU pods and shows. It's a lot of Wizards pods and shows, but we are all of that in one, my guys. It's nothing like us out here, man. You're in the right place. Trust me.
Real talk. We are, man. Originality, bro. I don't even know what you're doing. I ain't going to hold you. I was just thinking that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got a lot of, like, let's put it in the context of even in the area, right? And everybody gets hyped about the NFL draft and this, that, and the other. But no one talks about the combine that went down during this week, right? Like, you can listen to the radio and no one's talking about it in terms of putting a professional spin on it, right? A team professional spin on it and say, hey, they can get one of these kids or that kid. We're the only ones doing it. I kind of like that.
It's a unique show, bro. Like I said, I'm biased, of course, but I'm just saying, if you're here, you're in the right place, because we're going to talk all that tonight. Going to talk all of it. Well, I'm not going to jump ahead, though, brother. I'm excited, though.
I can tell. Good. You know what I'm saying? I could tell. But let's get into the particulars. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you're not watching us on YouTube, go over to YouTube, subscribe to our channel. Don't forget to hit us up on X at Urban Sports Scene, also on IG at Urban Sports Scene, and also visit our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. All right, let's get into our tradition. The pregame, here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about possible Commanders prospects from the HBCU Combine with Adam Aniba from the Burgundy and Gold Report. Then finally, we'll debate whether the Washington Wizards should make a play for Mike Budenholzer after the season. Budenholzer was the former coach for the Milwaukee Bucks. I think we're waiting on our guest.
Hey, we can start without him.
Truth be told, we really could. All right, so Ray, you want to jump into it?
I could jump into it because, hey, Paul, what's good, bro?
What's up, Paul? What's up, baby?
Hey, thanks for rocking with us. Hey, Paul, I don't know if you're on this HBCU tip or not, but Paul.
He watches our clip, though. Paul will. He will research some of these players. Real talk.
I know Paul is up on everything Commanders, so you know what the Commanders need. We already know that. Wole, as we talk about the HBCU Combine, of course, which went down this week, as you mentioned, I was excited about one dude. You know who that is. Of course, he had the fastest 40 time there, Eric Smith from FAMU. FAMU was the best HBCU football team. And remember when we had this past season, remember we had Antoine Bethea on, and he talked about how you have to be the best. You have to stand out when you're playing at a smaller school, especially HBCU, if you want to get drafted. And I just thought about it. Think about Willie Simmons.
Yeah.
Willie Simmons, his background, the style that they played, the defensive style they played, and also what he's already done, the people he's placed in the lead. You got Marquise Bell, Isaiah Land. He's already got the results. He's got the pedigree. So you would want somebody from his program. And it's not just about the speed. It's about footwork. It's about IQ, I think. And it's also the story off the field. I told you that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I'm rooting for this young man to succeed. Similar to, if you're familiar with a local guy, I shouldn't call him local, but he's a DMV dude that played at Jackson State last year, nicknamed Nugget. Same thing, man. Worked hard, very athletic, DB. And he actually did spend some time in the NFL training camp. And I'm hoping that it'll be the same for Eric Smith out of FAMU coming up.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I actually was looking. I'm actually going to pull the clip. I was looking at him, watching him earlier.
For sure.
Big pick. He had a big pick. He had two picks in this game, actually. I think this is the game against Bethune. Could be wrong. I think it's Bethune. And he had two picks in this game. Yeah, so he's, like you mentioned, 4.32 in the combine, I believe he ran. One of the best players. If you look at where he was all SWAC, so he's all SWAC performer, first team all SWAC. He's a guy that I think, because of that 4.3 speed, definitely is on everybody's radar.
Radar, no doubt. He stood out. He's so, the story.
To your point, right? He's definitely somebody to look for, look towards seeing. I mean, hopefully in the next level, and hopefully on this team for the Commanders, to be honest with you, because you need that type of speed on for this team. But let me introduce our guest, because I think he's in the building.
Yes, sir.
Right now, we have Adam Aniba from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the pod. What's up, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Adam breaks down college players, including HBCU players as well. Hey, Adam, what's good, my man?
Good, man. Been crazy busy, but, you know, I'm starting to get into that small school. Just started looking at this kid from South Dakota the other day, really diving into the HBCU. I like to wait. Those are the ones I like to wait on, let them play out. Just not just try to get game film, but, you know, let the offseason play out a little bit, like the combine, stuff like that, before I get to them. But, yeah, I there's a couple that I definitely have my eye on that, you know, you mentioned.
All right, so let's get into it. So Ray mentioned, but, you know, like we talked about it earlier, the combine started in New Orleans Monday. There were some guys that, to me, had impressive showings. You had North Carolina Central quarterback Davis Richard. Then you have FAMU cornerback Ray. We talked about him, Eric Smith, just to name a few. Obviously we cover the Commanders. From the folks that attended the combine, which player do you think is the best fit for the Commanders?
Well, I'll say best fit and biggest need, and it's not just starters; it's depth, and it's going to be a broken record, but offensive line. You know what I mean? Like, so no matter what you get in the drafts, starting left tackle, starting right, this team needs a lot of players. Like 10, 11 linemen, in my opinion. Like Cosme is one of the few keepers. I'm really purging everybody. And I think they will end up doing that. But no, this kid, Aneem Dankwah from Howard, dude is a monster. It was like 6'8" and change. He's played left tackle for 3 years straight, but I have him on the right side in the NFL. I just think, you know, he just has some issues with, he does struggle to redirect. It throws off his leverage because, you know, he's such a big man. So that's something that's going to probably take 2 or 3 years. But I just love his ceiling right now as a swing tackle right away. That's what I love about the small school guys and the HBCU guys. I'm not just saying you're going to get him, develop him for 3 years on the bench or practice squad. I want to see them who could be in the swing tackle mode. And I think he's a guy that you talk about bringing on goal line, you know, with what they're trying to build right now. I really like it. And I'll tell you what I like about him. He immigrated from Canada, I think, and he's a soccer player in basketball. I love that offensive lineman because I think that just shows, you know, better bend, more athleticism, but, you know, he's strong to boot. You know, the crazy thing is you look at him and you think he's just going to absolutely dominate in the run game and need work in the pass game, but it's almost the other way around right now. He has that intensity, you know, that need, but when he's blocking, he's just a little high. But I'm telling you, you get this kid on next level, get proper NFL coaching because he's got the intensity. And again, 3-year starter at left tackle, regardless, the layman fans really just focus on level of competition. But offensive line is something this offseason I've had to watch more than ever. That's probably more than a third of my scouting reports so far. So I'm really getting to like know what to look for. And it's weird because when you're watching skill positions, you're looking at like big plays. with the big guys, you're really just looking at them on the film. You're not looking at all what's going on. You're looking, how are they assisting the guy next to them? You know, their technique, their bend, their kick slide, you know, what they're going. So it's something totally different for me. But one, I might be wrong. Again, all the experts are, you know, the hit or miss rate is pretty high. But this kid, I think to get him in right away, he's not an option that you can slide in. So that's something you have to be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't think, you know, you probably don't invest a draft pick, maybe late 6th, 7th. So I do see him draftable, but you're not going to be able to move him inside. So that's a one position guy. He's right tackle, and you just got to be patient and develop it. But man, talk about Washington to me right now. That's the perfect guy you use on that late round pick.
Ooh, so, you know, a lot of times it's wild. A lot of times when you guys like that, because of the competition, a lot of people want to slide him in the guard and thinking they'll be a nice slotted guard. You think so? You're saying that he's only at one position. He wouldn't be able to.
I don't think so. The size is an issue. You know, 6'8", you know, the bend on the NFL level, they're just going to take him out on his, they're just going to take his legs out from him. You know, he won't be able to do much. But on the right side, I think he can maul. You know, we talk about that kid, blanket on his name. They call him Thanos from Ohio State last year. He went to Cleveland. That kid, he's not going to. I'm telling you, he's going to get better and better every year. And that's, I don't say comp, but that's the closest, I think, when I watch the both of them. Like, you know, again, Dankwa, he needs a lot more refinement, but again, way more athletic than that kid. You know, his soccer background, I was able to find on Huddle and a couple of things and playing soccer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I look for footwork. My father was a professional soccer player, as you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a big soccer guy, but it impresses me when I see quick footwork. And a guy was at 6'8", 350 or whatever he is. Man, it's impressive. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. And I didn't see the full combine list. I wasn't sure if he's invited to the NFL combine. But if he isn't, it's a travesty.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's in the Senior Bowl. He was in the Senior Bowl.
I thought he was. I'm gonna look that up while you guys continue.
Appreciate it. Yeah. I'm so crazy. They released the combine list 2 weeks before. And like someone like me who's in the middle of evaluations to stop and like, okay, now let's figure out. Man, they need to change that. They need to make it, you know, Bucky Brooks and them were saying the same thing when I was listening to them move the sticks. I was like, man, I couldn't agree more. We need at least a month, you know, to look at that list a little more and like pluck the guys that we think for, you know, the teams that we're writing about. But he should be invited because I think unlike a lot of the guys at the that are going to be on the combine, the ones we know, I think you're just looking at him as he's not a boom or bust guy. He's a guy that's going to have a career in the NFL, but could he surprise and be like one of the top right tackles in the NFL? You just don't know till you see it, but he's a guy, you know, I put in that worth developing range.
Just for clarification, he has been invited to the NFL Combine. It looks like, from what I'm seeing here, he might be the first in Howard history to make that. So it's a big deal. Like I said, he's been on teams' radar since before the season started, and he's lived up to the billing. The running game, as Paul referenced, we had Eden James on this show. They did a running back by committee, but that was part of
Jim Ian Willer. Yeah, both two. Yeah, both those backs. Ian Willer, Ian Willer, both of them, both good backs. Paul, you got it. Yeah, I liked it. So Paul mentioned Trevion Green from Prairie View. He ran a 4.43.
Linebacker, Adam, that's another position.
Yeah, it's wild, but you got to look at before. See, for me, it's wild. So we all get fascinated with the 40, right? And it's deservedly so. It's, you know, it's amazing. You try to jump into, I know, right? But you want your production on Saturdays. That's my whole thing. Does it match your production on Saturday? And a lot of the guys that ran, some guys who did run pretty well in the combine didn't really match what they did on Saturday. You know what I mean? And other than to what Ray's talking about, Eric Smith, who out of FAMU, he did match what he did on Saturdays. Again, he was all swag. Do you see like that being a position? A lot of these kids, some of these kids, it's unfortunate, they may not be drafted, but being an undrafted free agent is much better. Right. I had a friend who was an undrafted free agent, and he preferred that more than being drafted, period, because he got to dictate where he went and he worked to deal with a team or whatever. So a guy like Eric Smith, do you feel like he could be a potential player that the Commanders could kind of eye on? Secondary wasn't that good last season, so I'm just saying, like, maybe.
Without a doubt. I think there's not one position on this team that couldn't use some more depth and, you know, an add because – you know, you go through wide receiver, they're losing Samuel. You know, you go through safety, they could be losing Curl. You know, you look at cornerback, they're losing Fuller. So it's like you can look at really every position and think, yeah, they definitely could. And what I love about, you know, it's a wait and see approach. We're not going to get crazy, but the coaching staff they're developing, they're bringing in a lot of former players. That's a lot, you know, the mold that, you know, they did in Detroit, had success. So I think that they're bringing ideologies together and they're going to build around the type of players. So they've been saying it all off season. It's not going to be about you're going to adjust to our system. We're going to incorporate you if we like you enough. So if you have guys from the HBCU level, just like you said, a lot of them are going to become undrafted. But the beauty of that is Washington is going to be really attractive because I think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities because they're going quarterback in the first round. So who do they have at cornerback and cornerback, safety, linebacker, offensive line, that it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to beat those guys out. You know, you're going to see guys like Leno cut, you know, Logan Thomas is going to get cut. I definitely think those are cap casualties. So it's all up in the air. Out of any team in the NFL right now, I think this is the best situation for a small school or HBCU kind of prospect.
Cool. Got a question for you guys, both of you. The fact that Marquise Bell out of FAMU played with Dan Quinn and was a significant contributor
last year.
A young player, do you think that makes a difference in terms of your thinking as maybe Dan Quinn will sign some undrafted free agents from the smaller schools, including HBCUs, like just at the lower level in general?
I think to me, the NFL is it's so different from basketball, right? Like, and we said this before, like the NFL is all about like talent. Like, they don't care where you come from. Like, because one, you have you have seven rounds in the NFL draft, right? Then you have the undrafted free agent, the undrafted route. And in some of these, and a lot of coaches, depending on what your program is, they'll give an undrafted individual so much attention if they balling out in training camp, mini camp, training camp. And also they keep showing you progression and they're showing you work and value. They'll look at some of their own players and be like, you know what? I'd rather have that kid on my team compared to like somebody who is like well renowned or whatnot. So to me, I think that he would definitely have that outlook and to say, all right, you know, I would want a kid from a HBCU if he's balling out in camp. You know what I mean? I think that could definitely happen. Look at even Seattle. When you look at was it Browner? Yeah, Browner was from the CFL. Browner, like how he became a starter. That's under Dan Quinn, right?
Yeah,
Browner's coming from the CFL and he's getting that opportunity. So I'm just saying, like, to me, with Dan Quinn's track record, I think if you ball out and you play hard and they play with what we saw with Joe Witt was talking about, and start playing with that mentality, that violence, I think, definitely. I feel like, especially on the defense, I think that's better at opportunity.
I talked to a friend of mine who's really into analytics. You know, I'll admit I'm totally ignorant to that. And what he told me about the whole thing about analytics, he says, you have guys that come on undrafted free agents. Again, like you said, that's a good position for, you know, players to be in. But what he said that was interesting to me is don't sleep on the factor that, okay, HBCU level, small school level, they see guys that were in the best of the best of the competition they played with, not focusing on how low it is. Like, you know, I interview Kyle Duggar, you know, guys on division II, III, you know, they're looking, how did they shine? Were they leaders? Did they dominate? So what you're going to have is if you pluck a bunch of guys from the best, you know, HBCU program, small school programs, you know, South Dakota State, you know, their right tackle, left tackle, one I just wrote about, both of them are going to be on teams. Like, you're able to do that in the late round undrafted free agent. You've got 4 or 5 years, if they beast out, to even have to consider paying them more than the rookie minimum, not veteran minimum. So that's going to be a big part of what you see Washington. So I think when you have depth players, we've been seeing nothing but SEC picks for a long time. And you know what I think that has to do with, a friend of mine, a scout, was a lot of times that's just guys like, I only know the best, so I'm only going to look at the best. The best scouts are the ones that really just spread themselves around, able to look on every level for, you know, Troy University. There's this pass rusher over there this year. I'm blanking on his name, but this kid absolutely dominated, 17, 18 sacks. Like, these are the kind of guys you want to look at, interview them and say, do they have that mentality? And I think that's what Quinn's going to bring. You know, we all, you know, like the kid in Detroit to be the possible head coach. But I honestly think with Quinn, you're going to have a lot more of a collective, and it's going to either work or it's going to fail. But I think it has a strong possibility of doing better than anything Washington has done coaching wise. And I think Peters, he's had more, you know, a lot of people focus on the Trey Lance issue in San Francisco. That was lynched. Again, how many teams are going to blow that? You know, a lot of teams are going to go all out for that quarterback, see what they can do. But the good teams are evaluating those mid to late round draft picks. You know what I mean? You know, you look at the middle linebacker for them. You know, you just look at, you know, Purdy, everybody knows that. You know, that's lightning in a barrel right there, bottle right there. But he had a track record, even in Denver, wherever he was, advising. They did good in those mid-round picks. And I think people talk about Washington needs to hit on their draft picks. To me, it's important to hit early, of course, with the quarterback. But they got to hit on those mid-round to late-round picks early on. Otherwise, it's going to be like a 2-3-year process. But that's the way that you can turn around things real quick.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. I mean, Paul mentioned, let me pull this up too, actually, on the comments. Paul said, yeah, y'all think Green could play safety in the NFL, same build as Quan Martin. Yeah, I do. I think with that type of speed, but that's it depends what kind of safety you're trying to look at. You know what right. I mean? If you're playing linebacker in college and then playing safety in the NFL, it's totally different. But yeah, this, I mean, who I don't know. It's hard to gauge one kid's work ethic, right?
Right.
That's pretty much what it is. It's all about having the will and the study room to say, you know what, I'm moving from linebacker to safety, which is totally different. It's a different animal. You're going from seeing wide receivers. I mean, you're gonna see tight ends, wide receivers at the most elite level in the NFL.
Adam, so, real quick, how important is this first draft for the new regime, including the coaching staff?
Man, it's huge, but it's going to be huge at free agency because this can't be a free agency where they just sit in their hands and spend a little money here on mid-level guys. I think there has to be some splashes going into the draft because otherwise you're going into the draft having to address a lot of positions. If you can make like two splashes, you know, a lot of your cap, you know, Curl's one of them. I'll include him. So two big splashes. I think you can go into the draft after you get your quarterback. You have that ammo to move around, move up, move back. So I think those are going to be the type of moves that define this team. But again, I feel bad for the fans that really think that they're going to trade back or they're not going to go quarterback because I think there's no way that they don't go quarterback. And then the rest of the draft is really just about building that team. It just makes too much sense.
So Adam, speaking of safety, you mentioned Cam Curl. See, I like Southern safety, Carter Jordan. I've been talking about him on X.
The Bowie transfer. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's actually, you know, from us, and he's actually from, I'm kind of boosted, he's actually from the area too. He's from Charles County, so he's close to the area. But he also ran a 4.63 in the 40. Which I wasn't in love with, but again, like I said earlier, sometimes
it doesn't always translate.
Yeah, it doesn't always translate, right? You know what I mean? So your thoughts on him. Your thoughts on him.
Yeah, you know, I think he came in, if I remember right, I looked at 5'11", around 200 and change. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you want to see, you know, the same idea with Forbes. You know, they want to get a guy that had, you know, create turnovers. You know, 4 interceptions last year for him, 3 interceptions the year before. You know, this guy's a graduate student, you know, smart, smart guy from, you know, the research I've done. You know, and I think that he's the kind of guy that, you know, I think Danny Johnson's the last guy I evaluated from Southern. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to comp the guys, but as far as the ceiling, that's where I could see him being is like a Danny Johnson type. And maybe if the cards go in the fall, right, have a little better career, but like, I think they're similar size, you know, option to really, you know, I'd like to see, you know, more tape before I say it, but you know, can he be that guy in the slot? Cause I think Washington is going to need that, you know, no matter who they have right now, they don't have a slot corner.
Yeah.
You know, I like your guy out of Michigan a lot. I wrote about him, you know, but I don't know if he's going to be available. I feel like by draft time, someone's going to just draft him at the end of the first round or early second.
Of course.
But I think a slot corner, and I think, again, I want to watch more, but just from the limited stuff I've seen, you know, the 4.63 stuff, that can be overshadowed if you're covering a slot. Slot is about technique. And I think that, you know, what I've seen, I like his hands. I like the intelligence. You know, that's the thing that stands out of everything I read about him.
It's almost like Kyle Hamilton, right? Not to say there's not I'm talking about the speed. Like, you know what I mean? Like the speed, like how Kyle Hamilton, like everyone was in love with him until they saw his 40.
Yeah, and look what he did.
Like, and then look what he did in the NFL. So that's why I'm kind of like, when it comes to 40 time, I'm kind of like, And then I want to talk about it. So, you know, obviously Washington has, you know, you have Cliff Kingsbury, one of the, like, who runs the spread offense. And we, you know, and Ray's seen this dude play, and he was the best player in the MEAC, to be honest with you, in Davis Richard out of North Carolina Central. Could you see like, you know, undrafted or maybe late round pick, a guy maybe as a project, you could see, you know, Cliff Kingsbury saying, you know what, let me try this kid out.
Listen, I watched you sent me his name, so I watched a little of him today. I had some time. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I want to see more right now is I want to see a little better arm elasticity, because I see it in him. I see it in some of the reps I've seen. It's the motion. He's throwing it back. And then I watched the interview with Steve Wyke, which me and Doug on our podcast just had Wyke, and he was talking about this coming up. So I think, was it almost 9,000 career passing yards over 2026? So yep. Dual threat mold. Good size though. 6'3", 225. And again, I mentioned Belgrade. I lived in Florida for a little bit. So they impressed me down there, because a lot of these, they have two seasons. So that's a lot of football that they play before they even get to the college level. So you look at their college, career, how long they played, but then you've got to remember in high school, they played a lot of football, mm-hmm. He had 4.5 speed. So again, more than fast enough. This is a guy I would love to develop on the practice squad.
Obviously he's drawn comparisons to Tavares Jackson. That's the last HBCU quarterback to be drafted. And Tavares was really athletic. I think he might be a little more of a natural athlete than Davis. But the thing I love about Davis is he gets better every season.
Yeah.
Every year he improves. And I think that's what NFL coaches want to see. What hurt him, though, this season for me was he got hurt.
He's missed a lot of games.
He got hurt in that UCLA game where he was going to get a chance to display his talent against a top-level opponent. And that might have hurt his draft stock a bit. But I think overall, character – plays a big role. I think he's a great kid.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm thinking also, like, we talking about this offense. We're sticking with this offense and Washington's offense. And I feel like they're going to lose Antonio Gibson. Like, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely. He's not coming back.
So I'm looking. So I was looking through, throughout the combine, and there's a kid from Texas Southern in Ladarius Owens. And yep. He broke the school record in rushing yards, and he was the best rusher out of SWAC as well. And even guy that you covered, Esaias Guthrie, and you wrote an article. X said that he is something special because he played against them. I don't know if you had an opportunity to check him out, but if you did, what were your thoughts on him?
Returner too, man. Not many returns, but. Was it 7 for 132? Average just under 19 yards. Washington has no returners right now. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy. It's not just a practice squad to stash him. This is a guy. I think you give him a chance to play. 5'9", 208. So not tiny. He's got enough build. So little weight he needs to do. But I like his shiftiness. From the little bit that I watched today of him.
Yeah.
I like his shiftiness, and I like the way he takes his angles, and that's, from the returner background. I think give this kid more return opportunities, I think that's where he'll shine early on. And I think that's eventually where, he'll end up getting reps. But with Washington, I think if it stands right now with Robinson and Rodriguez, they need that changeup guy. He's not the fastest guy. I don't know what he's
He ran like a 4.6.
That's what I would have guessed. I would have guessed him in that 4.6 range because you can see he doesn't have that straight line. But he's got that wiggle, and I like the shiftiness of him, and that's a guy I definitely would take as undrafted.
Yeah, definitely. So this is probably one more player that I want to mention, because Ray and I were talking about him, and if you don't, me and Ray could talk about him. He was went to Morgan State safety actually. Was it Tolles, right, Ray?
Yeah, Jordan
Tolles. So mm-hmm. He transferred to LSU. So Ray. I watched him play. I watched highlights of him. And then again, he's a big dude. He's a thumper. And I kind of think that Dan Quinn would love him.
Yeah.
he's a thumper. Dan Quinn would love him. And he was all MEAC. And also he was acknowledged as one of the better players in all the HBCU football. So So I think he would be a good fit too.
Real quick. Dan Quinn likes to create turnovers. Jordan Tolles, Brandon Savage, those DBs for Morgan, they strike and they go for the ball. I think he would be a good fit. Listen, the Commanders have nowhere to go but up from where they are. So I think they should consider all options. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a good option, no doubt.
And I guess in this game right here, I think he had two interceptions in that game. Mm-hmm. That game we just showed. So he had two picks. So I think he's a player definitely. But Adam, before we let you go, bro, what do you think? Do you see the Commanders? And I guess I'm sure I asked you earlier, but do you see the Commanders drafting a kid from out of the HBCU circle, or do you feel that they'll just go the undrafted route and just wait their turn in the undrafted route?
And again, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but like, you know, I, even if I don't watch, you know, film on, of course, all of them, I can't get to all of them. You know, I talk to people I train with and scouts and stuff, and they're, this is just not the draft where, you know, they're seeing, you know, any guy that's really jumping out as a guy that, you know, we talked about Joshua Williams. He went fourth round to Kansas City. You know, there's really not one of those guys this year, you know, because, he dominated at Fayetteville State. Like, there's guys that look good, but I don't think that there's that fire right now in the NFL scouts. Again, it's just a prediction. And I think the kid I talked about, Dankwa, I think he's probably, out of everyone coming out, has the best chance of, you know, getting drafted, probably like one of the last picks in the seventh round. But yeah, I think a lot of these guys, you're going to see them battling for undrafted free agent. But again, like you were talking about, that's not a bad thing. I think, you know, these are guys that can build the back end of your roster. And coaches like Dan Quinn, and, you know, we'll see what we have in this defensive coordinator. But if they really, you know, can get these guys to play, I don't give a crap what level they're playing on. You know, if they're ready to hit, they're football guys, you know.
No. Oh, I love it. And I totally agree with you. Like, I do think there are years where certain players automatic, like, they're higher picks. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you mentioned Williams. He was one that people thought would be a second-round pick. Not even fourth, thought he'd be a second-round pick. I mean, even you had Shaq Leonard. He was the second.
That's one I was trying to remember.
Shaq Leonard was like second round.
Guy
I think Shaq was the second rounder, right?
Yeah.
Then you had, even when I was younger, Mathis, you know, went to Jackson.
Rasheem Mathis. He was in Bethune.
Yeah, he went to Bethune. Yeah. So, like, but those players were talked about throughout the whole process. So, to your point, I do agree with you, Adam. It's like it's not like other years. But you should still, to your point too, that you always got a kid out there who's pretty willing to work harder than the next kid, and can be able to make a name for himself. Like the kid that went to Jackson State, who went to the Detroit Lions and was killing it with sacks.
The linebacker, James Houston.
So you know, you just never know. You know what I mean? You never truly know. So. But to your point, I mean, but yeah, to what we're all talking about, it's all about the dog and that kid. You know what I mean? So hopefully this Commanders squad will be able to get one. You know what I mean? Because we cover HBCUs, and it'd be dope to kind of see one of these kids kind of make it out there. So, Adam, before we let you go, how can folks catch you on social media and also catch your content? Appreciate it. This has been really good and insightful, to be honest.
It's always fun. It's always fun. It's always organized. And it's just to the point. No bullshit. That's why I like it. You know, I think we've done, 100 together already. But yeah, as always, the burgundyandgoldreport.com, you know, I do Commanders articles, but in the offseason, I do scouting reports. So my page is, you know, full of, right now, we just did our 15th scouting report. Cool. On this kid Greenfield from South Dakota State. So I mix them in, you know, got some first rounders, fourth rounders, mid round, just guys that I like as fits. But, you know, I'm also, you know, me and Doug McCray, every Wednesday, Draft on Tap, you know, like I mentioned, Steve White, we got a lot of guys from PFF, you know, different, wherever we can get them to come on. But, you know, just talking draft, you know, this is the time of the year I love. A lot of people just want to hurry and get to the draft. To me, I just want to drag the process out and get to as many as possible. Because it's, to me, it's fun. It's fun. And the not fun part is the social media part, you know, because of course, you know, people are locked on to certain prospects, but that's why you have to throw a wide net and think of, you know, all kinds of positions, you know, in the way they contribute. So the burgundyandgoldreport.com.
Hey, Dujanay showing you some love now. He's a lot of great info share. Fantastic stuff. Hey, Dujanay, go follow my man, Adam, bro.
Yeah, for real. Appreciate real talk. You know what I mean?
He said, get to the draft.
Paul, I see you, Paul.
I know him as long as I've known you.
Exactly. I know. We know, Adam. Hey, Adam, man, thanks for being on, man. Appreciate you, man. Oh, Adam, cool guy.
Hey,
man.
Listen, Adam's always dope. The Commanders are always a hot topic in the offseason. I love when training camp starts. That's when the buzz is truly there. And then we see what really comes to light during the regular season. I don't even count preseason for real. But anyway, good stuff from Adam. It's some great HBCU prospects out there. The fact they continue to get spotlighted on the NFL Network and just in these bowl games and all, I just think it's amazing, man. Keep on following those guys. Mm-hmm. And we look to see them do big things. And the Commanders, they got their coach, Dan Quinn. Hopefully for the long run. Well, I know you want to have some consistency. But a team in Washington that does not have that consistency just yet. are the Washington Wizards. And coming up in the offseason, they're going to be looking for a coach and hopefully a championship-level coach that's out there on the market. So, we'll let
No, man, you actually gave me this idea for this topic, right? Because I ain't going to hold you. Like, I'm cute a buck. You did, though. Like, and I was like, dang, you never thought about old boy. You know, but we're going to talk about him anyway. NBA champion, champion coach Mike Budenholzer is on the market. And a lot of folks kind of like, some folks aren't vibing this whole thing. I'm looking on X. They ain't vibing what we talking about, but it's all good. The Washington Wizards, you know, coaching job will probably be open. I don't see them keeping the interim, to be honest with you. So do you think Budenholzer would be a good move for the Washington Wizards, right?
Okay, so when we started talking about this topic, just separate from social media, I had somebody hit me up immediately and said, it's too soon. They need to suck for at least 2 more years so they can stockpile draft picks, and then they can start to build a team, a la OKC. That's what many people expect Winger to do, is build this similar to how OKC is built. And I'm like, dang, that makes sense. Because if you bring Budenholzer in now, which I like, by the way, if you bring him in now, Paul just chimed in. If you bring him in now,
he's the one. Right? He's one of them.
if you bring him in now, and then they're still rebuilding and they're bad, then what? Do you fire him? Do you trust the process, as Washington's owner is known for? It's a tough sell. But think about this. And I know we're going to get to Bilal.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Giannis had arguably his best season, MVP season, under Budenholzer. Budenholzer, his teams play defense. The Wizards have lacked defense for quite some time. I think it's a good move, because where else do you go? Paul, you got Mark Jackson?
I put him out there.
Mark Jackson is a good name as well, but Mark Jackson didn't win a chip. I don't know. We look for championships in D.C., Paul. It's a good discussion. I'm not opposed to anything, for real. I mean, it's the Wizards in every building.
Yeah, I like. I
he
would.
Did, he did build Golden State. I agree with that.
Yeah, he did. Sure, it is. Facts.
He got done dirty there too.
He got done real dirty.
What about his broadcast partner, Paul Van Gundy?
Stan. Well, Gilbert Arenas hates Stan.
If Doc Rivers keep getting the job, my dude, it's just a job for somebody out there. Doc Rivers stay on the block, and he still got a job, and he gets good jobs too.
He gets awesome jobs, man. Doc gets to.
Hey, I wanted Sam Cassell years ago. I feel
put that out there on X. Sam Cassell, go ahead.
When I thought about Budenholzer, I'm like, you know what? I think that's actually a pretty good look if you have a team that's sort of ready to win. And this team isn't there quite yet. They're still young.
I feel like, so it's crazy. Like, so it's hard to dissect how, like, I think Budenholzer is a good coach. So I do think getting him isn't bad. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. I don't think that's a bad look at all. So I think the Wizards getting Budenholzer, it's okay, because you're getting a champion. And if you look at his body of work in terms of records, he wins basketball games. The issue initially with him was that he was choking in the postseason. Then, you know, he finally won the big game, right? He won the championship, where I thought, like, the Suns had all the momentum, you know what I'm saying? And they won that championship. Mm-hmm. So he's not a bad coach. I think, like, his situation, him being, put like this, him being fired doesn't look as bad, because they just fired a coach that was doing well in Griffin. So I don't care. Like, him being fired doesn't do anything for me, because it shows me that organization is run by something other than the ownership. Like, the organization is run by something other than the ownership.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like the players run, like, they run that. If they run that, you know what I'm saying? And whoever that is, I'm not calling anybody out, but whoever that is, they run it. Because there's no you fire Griffin, you fire your championship coach. Like, what are you, like, so what are you looking for? You know what I'm saying? Are you looking to be comfortable?
Before we get to Bilal, I want to say this. Does a name like Budenholzer, does that make this franchise a more attractive landing destination for free agents? Mark Jackson, to Paul's point, I think Mark Jackson would be better to come to D.C. D.C. is an excellent basketball town. Somebody posted on X earlier. I can't remember who it was. It might have been my man Herb, but I think it was. Anyway, he showed how in the top 20 or 25 high school teams in the nation, Five of those top teams are from the DMV, including number two, Paul the Sixth. And it just shows, again, the rich basketball culture that we have here. And I think it should be an attractive free agent destination, but it's not right now for obvious reasons because of recent history. But as my man Troy Halliburton pointed out, when John and Brad were winning and they were facing off against Boston, the town was rocking for the win.
Oh, It was lit.
If you could bring the right coach in, I mean, Randy Whitman was a great defensive coach. You bring the right coach in, you get free agents here, and you have a good young nucleus, I think you can restore that excitement about Wizards basketball, period. And Budenholzer or Mark Jackson might be good. Mark Jackson may be better in terms of attracting free agents. I don't know what you think.
I think Mark Jackson would be better in terms of attracting free agents. Oh, we got a comment from Chris. I want to put him out there. Chris said, Milwaukee Bucks will collapse. Will collapse the second half because of Giannis and his BS. See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
exactly.
I agree. So that's my thing. Like, we can't. I think Budenholzer is a good coach. I just feel like, yeah, I'm gonna say it. I feel like Giannis got real comfortable. Like, I feel like Giannis got a little different. Like, he got a little different. He's changed, and that's why Budenholzer got fired, and then that's why Adrian Griffin got Griffin got fired. And now they have an issue with Doc. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were winning. Look, they were competitive, and they were always having one of the best records in the regular season, and they fired Budenholzer. They were having one of the best records. They had, like, second best record in the East, and they fired – then they fired Griffin. Yeah, like, well, I'm sorry.
Paul, I think it's more so –
I think it's more Giannis than him. Because, I think it's more Giannis than him.
Well, here's the thing. Giannis, you got Jrue Holiday. That's what you needed. And he made them a really good defensive team.
And then they went. And then what happened?
Your point.
They traded him.
It seems like he's changed up here, and now here they are with Dame, who is a sexy name. And I love Dame, of course.
I love Dame.
Now defensively, you're struggling, and you're going to need to be better defensively in order to come out the East, where Boston's really good offensively. You're going to have to defend them. And Boston eliminated you last time. They faced off against you in the playoffs. And then if you can make it past Boston or Philly or whoever you face off against the East, then you're going to have to see a team like Denver in the finals. So they got to figure out – well, I don't want to talk about the Bucks too much, but they got to figure out what they're going to do defensively. I'm going to say that much. But it wasn't Budenholzer's fault based on what we're all saying. It was more so what we're seeing now.
Chris said Mark Jackson to me has been blackballed by the NBA. For whatever reason, I agree. I don't know what it is, but
even his own organization, he was supposed to be on commentary, and for some reason he wasn't. He said he turned it down, but there was reports that it was some pushback. I'm not sure, but you're right about that.
Paul said he's finding out that Dame don't play defense. I mean, the team was built on playing defense, and then you trade the best defender on your team. That team was built on playing defense for real, like real talk, and then you trade the best defender on the team. We had the poll up on the Urban Sports Scene X account said, should the Wizards go after former Bucks, Mike Budenholzer? Former Buck coach Mike Budenholzer. I'm in the offseason. 71% said yes, 29% said no. So out there. Just putting that out there. So
say it again. What's the results? I'm sorry.
Sorry, 71% said yes.
Oh.
29% said no.
Okay, so many people are in favor of it, and it would be nice if we can get some comments as to why you're in favor.
I have one that said why they're not in favor. Okay, at Blame A Dub said he was about to get fired if he didn't win. He's talking about the championship year. He said he loses that series, and we're talking about him the same way we talk about Scott Brooks. I'm good on that. Rather have a coach that's great with development.
Okay, now that's what we're going to talk about. Look at Paul, like they're crazy because the poll said Budenholzer they were winning. and here's the thing, Wally, you were trying to get the dude from Bullets Forever to come up because he wrote an article about this as well.
Yeah.
And according to that article, Wizards fans as a whole are leaning toward Budenholzer. But
player
development was just mentioned. And we talk about Bilal. He's the future of your franchise, Coulibaly. Budenholzer be the right person to develop him? I'm telling you, the older school coaches don't seem to gel with the newer style basketball that's being played, the Steph Curry era basketball. Look what happened. Jock Vaughn's an excellent coach.
Look what happened to him.
Excellent coach. And for whatever reason, And I love Cam Thomas. And that's the only thing I didn't like seeing play my man Cam Thomas.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I had that problem with him too. I did have that problem.
I didn't like that. But in terms of these young guys connecting, playing, winning basketball, you see Nick Nurse have to change teams. When Nick Nurse is a well-respected coach,
you got fired.
Thibodeau, same thing. It's a different style of basketball that's being played, whereas why you see younger guys who aren't as experienced getting opportunities. A la Chauncey Billups got an opportunity when he didn't have the best coaching resume. So I'm thinking to myself, do you want to go that route or do you want to go old school? The Wizards are going to have to make that decision, because the most important thing is the fans.
It's Koulibaly. That's the most important thing.
Culture. Oh, yeah.
It's Koulibaly.
I mean, he's shown flashes.
Chris, I feel Wizards were basically where we were trying to get the team before the deadline. Oh, so to gut the team before the deadline.
Okay, so to that point, because Kyle Kuzma came out and said he declined a trade because he wanted to build something here. I heard so many people say cap. Bradley Beal said the same thing. He just know he not gonna get as many shots if he goes to another squad.
Bill said cap.
No, Bill didn't. I'm just saying. People said Bill was the same way. Where he I want to build something here. When it's like, no, you know, you're going to get a lot of touches. You're going to get a lot of shots. That's why you want to stay. It's not about winning.
Yeah.
Budenholzer to me would be a guy that could come change the culture as well as a Mark Jackson, because culture is big. Kind of like you said, your star player, your future is big. And I think Budenholzer is okay for player development. I don't know why that individual who you referenced thought otherwise.
I just think that Budenholzer, I get what that individual was kind of talking about. So, for instance, to me, the progression in Giannis as a player, I feel like that stems from Jason Kidd, because Jason Kidd can put the ball in his hand and let him pretty much play like the one. You know what I mean? Like, so a point forward. So Jason Kidd gave him the opportunity to play mate before he left Milwaukee. But I do think that Budenholzer took it to another level. So I do agree with you. He took it to another level. So he did help the development of Giannis, you know what I mean? But I think Giannis' development was on his way after Kidd. Like, I thought it was on his way. But I do believe that, yeah, Ray, that he helped the development. Now, so I feel like everybody's compared Bilal to Giannis, right? That's been the comparison. So why not go to a guy who's actually coach Giannis? So if he's coach Giannis and you got a guy in Bilal that's similar to Giannis, it just makes sense to go with him as the coach, and maybe he can get you something close to Giannis if that's what you're aiming for, because he's seen how Giannis worked.
And Taj just chimed in about Bilal.
And I'm in the minority. I don't see Bilal's ceiling being as high as some think. Like, I feel like, what's the ceiling? Like, what do they think? Because I do think Bilal, or this is my ceiling for Bilal. This is my thoughts of Bilal. Bilal is who can be first team all defense. I see that easily. Like, Bilal can be first team all defense. He's got to work on his offense. I'm not going to not. He has to work on his offense. But I see him being a two-way player. Like, he's definitely a two-way player. Like, he can get you in today's NBA. He can get you 20 eventually. All you got to do is hit a corner three. He'll get you 20 eventually. He's not scared. He'll bang on you. So I do think that Bilal has the ability to be a two-way, one of the better two-way players in the NBA. That's my ceiling for Bilal. Is he a superstar? I wouldn't go as far as saying superstar, but I think he'll be an impact. He'll be an impactful player. You still need a star with Bilal. Okay, you still need a star with Bilal, though. You do need a star with Bilal. I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where Taj is going. And then based on our discussion.
Okay. Yeah.
Based on our discussion.
Not Gerald Wilkins. No, not like.
Hey, I love Taj, man.
Taj, hey, not Taj. That go.
You bring our age bracket right into the discussion.
He
man.
Does though. He said Gerald Wilkins.
You have no idea who Gerald Wilkins is. Now listen to the show, man. It's dope.
Trey Jones.
Tyus?
Yeah, Tyus Jones. He's Tyus Jones. So Tyus Jones? Yeah.
Okay.
I like Tyus.
So we basically got two names. We got two names. We got Mark Jackson and we got Budenholzer. For either one of those guys, how long would it take for them to make the Wizards competitive, going to what Dujonay is saying? They got some players, but they need to develop a more complete roster. Also, he said, have the ability to put the right guys on the floor. How long would it take to make the Wizards competitive? Again, somebody hit me up right away and said, at least three years.
I don't think they got all that. I'm not saying they got five. I think Paul is almost about right. I wouldn't say they got that much talent. I think Dujonay being a little nice. ain't gonna hold you. I think that their roster as constructed.
Taj, I'm with you, man.
Oh, he said that. I mean, let me put it.
I like San Francisco. I've been loving San Francisco.
Yeah,
I've been. He said the fans don't have 5 years. I agree with that, especially when you're talking about relocating.
Mark Jackson or San Francisco. So this is my art. So I'm gonna get back to it. So, I think that if you're talking about talented players, like, all right, winning players and talented players are totally different. So I'll put it that way. Like, Kuzma's not a winning player. I know he's got a championship, but he's a winning player with superstar players around him. That's different. He's not a winning player if he's the main, if he's one of your focal points. He's not the main player. He's not a winner for you. Jordan Poole, self-explanatory. I think we all know what Jordan Poole is. I'm not going to get into that. but Bilal was the piece that I feel like is a winning player. Like, Bilal, I kind of see where Paul's coming from. Bilal is
like calling Vancouver.
Bilal is a player that I feel like you can win with. And truth be told, I think I gotta give homie his flowers. Corey Kispert has gotten so much better as a basketball player. Like, he's a dude that I feel like is a winning player. Though I don't think he needs to be here, though. I think he'll be traded. I think Corey Kispert will be traded. And he won't be part of this team's.
Don't get me started on him, man. Because I want to.
He's been good, bro. He's been good. Real talk. He's been really good.
He ain't Cam Thomas, though.
Cam Thomas don't even be messing up, too. Don't stop, dude. Stop it. Because Cam Thomas.
No matter. He's a volume scorer. He's a volume scorer.
Dog. And he's not a winner. And I love Cam Thomas. He's not a winner. He's not a winner. He's a jacker.
What's the Wizards record? Exactly. Don't matter.
He would be good with the Wizards, though. I ain't going to hold you. He would be good with the Wizards. Exactly. I like Cam Thomas. But don't crap. Like, I'm going to be real. If you like break down Corey Kispert's game, he's got off the dribble. He got Pat with his game now. He shoots the three from distance. He's a solid basketball. He's a good basketball player. Sam Cassell
is coming up again. Thank you, Midget. I'm telling you, listen.
Yeah.
Paul is on fire tonight, bro.
I want him to go to Detroit ahead of mine.
Put some water on Paul, man.
Damn, you want to take Monty out of there? They caught. I'm just saying, and I like Cam Thomas. I think he's awesome, but I'm just saying, like,
man, it's a whole lot of draft loves. I'm not going to go into right now. However,
but with Corey's been good, bro. Real talk.
I agree with everybody's assessment. Dujane, you were a little nice, but I think 5 years as a fan. This is my fan hat. I think that is too long of a wait. If you don't make a run for the playoffs, I'm not talking about the play-in. If you're not a top six seed in the next 5 years, that's a serious.
Man, they'll be a playing team for a minute. That's where they aiming for. They got
no. Here's the thing.
Yes, they are. Look at OKC. Let's just look at OK. They'll be like OK. They'll be lucky to get the OKC route.
Okay,
that took a while.
But you could be Indiana. You make one trade, and then that change, and you draft a good player, it could change the trajectory of your team. They already had Miles Turner on that squad. I'm telling you.
Oh, did you read what Chris said? You saw what Chris said this? You put this out there? I didn't see it. I'm trying to hate to say it, but I don't see a ring.
No ring in the future. Maybe the mid-season tournament ring, Chris. We gonna be nice.
They ain't even getting that. That's too nice. Why you being nice to Dujane?
Playing round in 2 years. Okay, that ain't too bad.
Paul, now you being nice. Now you being like Dujane, Paul. No, not even playing.
Why can't you be in a playing tournament?
They're not going to be that bad. They're not going to be that. They're not dog.
We're talking about with Mark Jackson or Mike Budenholzer's coach now.
Put
your hypothetical hat on.
Oh, you're talking with another coach. Okay. Yeah. You're talking with another coach. Oh, yeah. That's different then.
Because right now there's no structure to what they're doing.
They have no structure.
I watched Jordan Poole. Dude. He's trying to cross, and I'm like, it's just bad shot selection. Like, okay, did you watch whoever's listening to? I'm asking you, Wole, did y'all watch the Dallas game? They were up double digits, about 5 minutes to play, and Jordan Poole is still trying to get his moves off. I'm like, what are we doing? The ball movement was working. You can defend one shot. It's easy. Any of us can do that.
5 years is too long, especially if Ted wants VA to pay for that arena. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, 100.
It's 100%, Taj. That's right. For real.
Hey, Paul, crazy, man.
Oh, man.
Chris,
right.
Chris, hey, yeah.
He is, bro. I'm serious. He is, Chris. He is.
Here's the thing. Most of us, y'all can tell me in the chat as well, do you agree that the fans are trusting what Winger and this group is going to do? Okay, you're trusting them to get this franchise back on the right track, meaning you trust them to pick the right coach. That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Because the change in the front office structure was totally necessary, and they were able to shed Brad's contract. They made a lot of good changes. I wish they would have kept CP for real, because look, we see what Jordan Poole's doing. You know, CP might have been hurt, but still, he always helps younger guys.
He always helps younger guys.
OKC, Houston.
But they knew that. But they knew that. That's why they traded them. They knew that. They knew that. That's why they traded. They knew that. I'm telling you, they did not want to win. I agree. Whoever said it with Chris, they knew that. They knew that.
Hey, Taj, I'm right there with you. We grew up at USA Arena at the Capitol Center, man. Yeah. We've been hurting for years, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Yeah. See, Paul. Yeah. Thank you, Paul. We trust these guys. Lakers. Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm talking about, Chris. That's what I'm talking about, Chris.
Chris, are you from the DMV? Come on home, bro.
Chris, that's what I'm talking about. We sucked though, Chris. Now we sucked.
Chris, y'all about to have Bronny James on y'all team.
Nah, no comment.
but we do. I think as a whole, the fan base is trusting this new front office, and if we are, then we're gonna trust they're gonna make the right decision. And right now, fans want Mike Budenholzer, but it doesn't look like that's gonna happen, unfortunately. And I highly doubt Mark Jackson for the same thing Chris said. He's pretty much been blackballed. And where does that leave you? You looking for the next hot assistant? Are you looking for a college coach?
I think I'm gonna try to get a young dude. That's what I think. I feel like that's what they're gonna do. But I think Budenholzer would go. You know what? I think Budenholzer is the type of coach that goes to a winner. You know what I'm saying? We out here. That's what I'm talking. We outside. I'm talking about Chris, Dujanay, we outside. We here.
He said, please no.
They said, leave Bronny alone, man. Just let Bronny, let Bronny be Bronny, man. That's how they get it. Let Bronny be Bronny, man. No pressure on Bronny.
It's going to take one big free agent signing
to be
and a splash in the draft. And that's going to change
everything. You know, I never get that, though. I never, like, that's the thing I don't ever get being.
Or trade.
Maybe it's because we live here. But it's Washington, D.C. I never get why, like, a basketball player never chooses Washington. Like, the only way they choose him at the end. Like, Paul Pierce chose Washington. Michael Jordan.
We always get the brother.
Yeah, like, we a Harvey. You know what I'm saying?
Harvey was good. That's my guy. But
Harvey was good. But you know what I mean? Horse went champion.
We had Brent Price. We didn't have Mark. the list goes on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, why, how come, like, when it's like free agent period, and DC, it's DC, man, it's the city, especially when it was popping, and you'd be like, like, you expect that some these players would choose DC over some of these other spots, and they don't. I'd be like, it's wild.
Well, dude. See, Taj, I'm hoping that because the front office has been restructured, that you'll now trust this front office. That's trust this organization. That's my hope, is that it's a different look. That's why this coaching hire is important, because that's going to continue to signify that this franchise and culture changed. Basically, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. Dang, the Wiz, though. I appreciate y'all. The Wiz win. You know how lit it was? When Gil was winning, Gil had the clubs popping.
That's what I'm saying.
He had his birthday party at Love. Diddy was there. Oh, which... Now what we're hearing may not have been the best thing, but still, it was a big deal. TD Jakes was at Love, man.
Go ahead, stop.
Gilbert Arenas, we already know. And remember, Wole, when we did our first live show, this was back in like 2011. Public Bar, DC.
Yeah, DC.
The stadium girls came up in there. Hey, go ahead, Chris. The stadium girls came up in there and they said, our favorite celebrity, not athlete celebrity, was Andre Blatch. They said he spends the most money. Look,
oh yeah, I remember that, John. They did say that. The Stadium Six did say that.
The city was popping, man.
They said, I do remember that. Oh, bro.
I'm telling you, but you create buzz, you create excitement, and this is a basketball town. You know, the Commanders are they're still the kings of this town. You know what I'm saying? They winning, and this is beyond amazing.
Yeah, Agent Zero era and Walton. Yeah. It was. That's it. She didn't say Bradley Beal era.
Do you know how much better this show would be if the Wiz were winning right now? My goodness.
It'd be dope. You know, yeah, we had a whole DC. If DC was on fire with the teams, we'd be killing it.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure. No, yeah. no doubt. But yeah. something has to happen. So the next coach, yeah, we'll have to figure it out. That's for a later show. Yeah, hopefully, definitely. I get some more intel. Budenholzer's who a lot of the fans want, but I don't see happening for the reasons we're talking about. And then Mark
Jackson. Chris, you're talking about the NFL?
Sam Cassell is probably not even in the running.
Say what?
I said Sam Cassell is probably not even in the
discussion. I don't know why. He should have been.
He needs to be somewhere, man. Yeah. And what he did in his pro career is of course,
messing up the fans.
Second to none.
He's at both drafts. Oh, NFL. He's talking about NFL. Can't wait for the NFL.
Oh, both drafts, yeah. NFL.
He's yeah. Chris, yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
The discussion tonight, fam. We got the Wiz, we got the Commanders both in rebuilds. Both, you know, starting
engine with basketball coaches, team. Front offices. I agree. The city does have different energy when the basketball team is winning. I agree with that.
Tell me about it, bro.
I agree.
You don't want to be on the red line when the team is winning.
Trade for Fields. Hey, dang, Chris, you like me? Oh, Chris, I ain't mad at this one. I ain't going to lie to you. I kind of want Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm kind of swaying myself to want Marvin Harrison Jr. I ain't going to lie. I'm like, Chris, I want to see you with me, bro. I feel like Drake May and Daniels are far behind Marvin. I don't know if you believe me. I know you with me. I feel like Marvin is that much better than them two dudes.
Don't start that right.
You know what I'm saying? That's a topic for another show. I ain't gonna hold you. That's a topic for another show. I'm saving that one. I know it's gonna be controversial and a lot of people don't want to hear it.
Good stuff, man.
But we about to close the show. Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate y'all, man. For real, we do. We truly appreciate it. What you see?
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
See. Ain't lying. I'm just saying. He betting everybody. Ain't lying, bro. I'm just telling y'all.
Yeah, man. Hey,
there they go. See what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Paul with me. He said, I ain't lying. We out here. Anyway, we outside. Anyway, also make sure you follow us on X, Urban Sports Scene. I'm at Urban Sports
Scene. Much love.
IG at Urban Sports Scene. Like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Also, check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. I don't know if I said. Also,
appreciate you too, Todd.
No,
appreciate you.
Also, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. All right, y'all, man. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, we out.
Randy Orton.